Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. I already said before, so let me do that again. Here we are. This is the first Sunday of Advent. We start our new series, Coming Home. Coming Home. And today we're in the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. So over these next few weeks, we'll be talking about home, what it means, coming home, how this connects to the biblical story, things like that. Home plays a big part in Christmas time, doesn't it? Lots of songs out there, I'll be home for Christmas. What's another one? Why can't I think of any? What's that? White Christmas? Is it talking about being home?
Home for the holidays.
Home for the holidays. So home, that imagery of home pops up a lot in our Christmas celebrations. Recently, I went back home to Lee's Summit, you know, over Thanksgiving and things like that. And there's new roads, there's new highways. You try to get from one place to the other, and you can't go that way anymore. One of the things that bothers me the most is my high school faces the major highway. And we drove by when I was a kid, you could see this huge, scary-looking tiger head. And it was home of the tigers, you know, Lee's Summit. Well, now the trees have grown so big, you can't see any of that anymore. So home just isn't the same, isn't what it used to be. Well, here we are in Isaiah chapter 64. And this scripture starts out saying, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens, tear open the heavens, and come down. Oh, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil." So God, that you would tear everything open, shake the mountains, and take over like fire takes over brushwood for burning, like boiling takes over the movement of the water, right? God, that you would come down and take over and set things right. For when... this is verse 3. "For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you." He's saying, we've seen this kind of thing before. We know that you can do something powerful. "Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways." Through these first four and a half verses, the prophet is leading them in a prayer, leading a prayer over the people, crying out to God together. Because when I read this, "Oh God, that you would tear open heaven and come down," to me what I heard was a prayer of grief. A prayer of grief. It's kind of like the mom who gets up, gets her twin toddler boys ready for the day, changes their diaper, puts them in their clothes, and then goes to start the laundry. And as she's walking to come back to check on them, she pulls her phone out because she realizes that something's not quite right. That the boys have found the bag of flour in the cabinet and they decided to play tug of war with it, and now it's snowing in the house. Snow's supposed to be outside, but now snow is covering the kitchen counters, the couch, the sofa, the TV. It's just on the picture frames, it's everywhere. And she comes back walking in and says, "This ain't supposed to be like this, right? This isn't the way it's supposed to be. Oh God, please help me," right? So it's kind of like that. Why do I say that? Here's what I want to do today. I want to teach you this scripture. I want to introduce to you a theological concept or an idea, and then tell you what difference that makes for your life and how we celebrate Christmas and what we're doing now, today, what God is up to in your life. So, why would they be crying out in grief and be saying, "This isn't right"? Well, this part of Isaiah 64, is towards the end of the book, this proclamation, this prayer, of crying out to God in grief, saying, "Oh God, would you just come down here and do something about this mess that we're in?" They're saying this because of what's happened in their lives. Babylon had come in and conquered Israel. And And when they came in, they conquered, they took the people, and they marched them back to Babylon. So they ripped them away from their home. They said, you're going to be Babylonians now. You're not Israel anymore. You're going to be Babylonians. Well, Israel wasn't too happy with that, but there wasn't much they could do to fight that. So they went, and then Emperor Cyrus comes along. And he makes a proclamation that says, the Jewish folks, they can go back to Israel. And so, after many, many years in exile, being in Babylon, now they get to go back home. And when they get home, what they see is not what they expected. What they see is not what they expected. There begins to be grief, and a broken heart. They knew it had been destroyed. They didn't know it was this bad. And if you read through the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, you'll read about how they start to rebuild the wall and rebuild the city and do a bunch of rebuilding. But this Isaiah is saying, God, we can build all the buildings. We can rebuild the wall. That still won't make it home. Still won't make it home. So they start out in these first 4.5 verses talking about God, how powerful he is. That he can make the mountains tremble. That his work can boil up out of the ground and set things ablaze like fire. God, you can do mighty things. Then it turns to, in the second half of verse 5, there begins a shift. And it says, but when we continue to sin against them, which means your ways, when we continue to sin against you and your ways, God, you were angry. How then? We be saved. So what they're discovering is that home isn't just a geographical place or a building. And when they got there to that geographical place, this may be the land, but this ain't home yet. This may be the place, but this is not home. Because God, you're not here like we remember. God, would you come down? Make this home again. Because we're a broken people. Right? And see, he continues on. Because of our sins, you were angry. And he says, all of us have become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf. And like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name anymore. No one strives to lay hold of you and seek after you anymore. You have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. So again, it's not saying that God is necessary. I mean, it says you are angry with us for our sins. But in a sense, what I hear from this isn't that God is intentionally trying to interject and punish them by like throwing down lightning bolts. Like, anybody ever teasing you, like, you better be careful what you say because God's going to strike you down, right? I don't think it's that kind of thing. They're basically confessing. They're doing a confession of their sin, of their brokenness, of their fear, that they have lost God and they need him again. It's a confession that we were the ones who went away. We were the ones, and now we're paying the consequences, the natural consequences of that. God. And so now we're crying out to you, God, would you show up again? Would you set us right again? Because it continues on and says, yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. But look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. We are all. So, what we see happening in this scripture is what I like to call this theological concept is the already but not yet. What we mean is that there's a present evil dark age and there's the age to come that is God's age, God's reign, marked by Jesus Christ, his Son. And we live in the overlap of those two ages. Okay? So turn to your neighbor, and say, I don't belong here. Go ahead. I don't belong here. Now turn to your neighbor and say, we don't belong here. And what this is what the people of Israel, what Isaiah is expressing. They're saying, we don't belong here. This may be the land, this may be the spot, this may be a geographical location that would house us, but this is not home. Home is more than a physical place or a physical space. Home is about being at peace with you, God. God, would you open up the heavens and come back and shape and form us into home? Because what is important about home? What is home? Lots of people say home is where the heart is. Home is where the heart is. It's being surrounded by the people you love. But when you break it down and you dig further into what is home, and you will say things like, just make yourself at home. What do we mean when we say that? We're saying make yourself comfortable. Make yourself familiar. When we ask the question, what does it mean to be at home? What is home? We're saying, what are you familiar with? What are you, where are you comfortable? And what they're saying is, God, we are seeing terrible things. That we got kicked off and destroyed and in exile, and now we've come back and we don't even feel like rebuilding because of all the stuff we see, the evil that's piled up, the violence that's piled up, the transgressions that we've caused, that we've done. We are not comfortable with this anymore. We don't want to be familiar with this mess that we live in anymore. Doesn't that directly apply to us today to say the same kind of thing? I'm not comfortable with all the arguing and fighting and struggle for power that I see. I'm not comfortable with all the grief and the burden and anxiousness and worry and fear. I'm not comfortable carrying those things around with me. I'm not comfortable that everywhere I look, there's strife and violence. I'm not comfortable. I don't want to be familiar with that anymore. That's the evil age, the present evil age, and remember, the age to come, overlapping. That's what they're crying out for, that they have hope, that God, that you would come down. When God comes down, it's like it boils up out of the ground. When God comes down, it's like the mountains shake. When God moves, things change and things happen. God, you are our Father. God, you are the creator. God, you are the shaper. You are the artist. We are the clay. You are the potter. Make us at home. Hear it. Now, this concept and this idea that we live in the overlap, the present evil age and the age to come, God's age, I think it's best described in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 18. This is what Paul says. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. I consider that our present suffering, so as bad and as horrible and as terrible as things can be, it doesn't even begin to compare with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay, to death, and brought into the glorious freedom of children of God. See, Paul is talking about this place that we live in, that as bad as it possibly seems and feels and is to you and your situation, it doesn't even begin to compare to how great and awesome and incredible and how much brightness of light there is in God's glory that's going to be revealed through you. And he continues on, he says, we know that the whole creation, this is what he compares this present evil age to, we know that the whole creation, this overlap of ages, the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth. Nobody's supposed to be at home in childbirth. That's not a place to be comfortable, amen? Right? It's supposed to last just as long enough as it's supposed to last. Not for ages and ages, right? Right? And he's saying, all of creation is waiting with hope, as if in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we too groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as children, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we are saved. The hope that is seen is no hope at all, for who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. You may live in a foggy, confusing time where it seems like we become overwhelmed with grief and worry and anxiousness, with the burdens of seeing evil at work that we feel like we can't do anything about. We may live in a time that feels painful, and yet we see signs of the age to come. We see signs of hope. We see signs of God's strength. We see signs of God's peace. We see signs of God's help. Amen? You see in your life, that I see in my life, that we see in the life of the church. Paul is saying, we have been given something special. We are the first fruits. We are the ones that God has chosen to shine through. We live in this overlap of the ages. Paul said, you know, they used to say, it's Friday, the Sunday's coming. You know, Jesus died on Friday, rose from the grave on Sunday. But that doesn't really connect anymore. It's usually people grieve on Monday, right, back to work, and then, hey, but don't worry, Friday's coming. Okay? So we live in this thing where, in one sense, we're not at home, yet in another sense, we know where we belong. We know. So, what is this? Where then is that home? What is Scripture telling us where that home is? Where is it that we belong? You know, in Isaiah, he says, God, you are the Father, you are the potter, we are the clay. Paul says, our present sufferings are not our home, they don't even compare to the future glory. We were created and shaped and formed by God. Made in the image of God. To love one another just like God created us to, right? That's where our home is. In God's glory. The glory of his light. The glory of his love. The glory of his peace. The glory of his joy is where we are meant to live. To be comfortable with. To be familiar with those things. Fog of grief, not the fog of sorrow, Now, that doesn't mean we're never sorrowful. That doesn't mean we never experience grief. That doesn't mean we never go through hard and difficult times. It just says that's not where our home is. Our home is in God's glory. Now, when I think about God's glory, I think of overwhelming light. Light so bright that you just know that it's the source of all life. God's glory. Now, this time of year, light plays a big role in our celebrations of Christmas. In fact, my baby sister, her favorite song from Christmas time, and now, right now, Elise, her favorite song is also this one, but I'll be honest with you, every Christmas song that comes on the radio, she goes, "That's my favorite song!" any Christmas song on the radio. So, it's hard to tell exactly which one her favorite, but the song I'm talking about is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And Rudolph, if you remember, he discovered he didn't belong here. You know, because of that blinking light on your nose, you don't belong here. You don't fit in with the other reindeer. And Rudolph, if you watch the movie, he ran away because he didn't belong there. He ran away, he found the misfit toys, he found other people who didn't belong. He found an elf that wanted to be a dentist, right? He didn't belong there. Now, one thing, and all of us, similar kind of quest in our life, to find where we belong, right? Where do we fit in? Where do we belong? Where am I at home? What am I to be at home with? Now, one day, Santa comes along and says, "Rudolph, it's foggy. Rudolph, it's dark outside. Rudolph, we don't belong in the fog. We need your light. You belong at the front of my reindeer. Light the way, Rudolph." He found a way. He found a place where he belonged. Right? See, God does the same thing. God says the same kind of thing. Right? He comes and he sends Jesus Christ. He says, "I've heard the cries of my people. I hear their grief. I see the fog that they're living in. Sending Jesus, my light, to become like one of them, show them the way to be at home in the future glory. Make their home in glory." And then Jesus gathers the church and he tells the same thing to the church. He says, "I'm sending you to be the light of the world. The world doesn't need to live in fog. The world doesn't need to live in grief. The world doesn't need to live in the burdens of anxiousness and worry and fear. The world doesn't need to live in strife and violence and evil and oppression and injustice. The world doesn't need to live in death. The world needs you. Shine your light. Show them the glory of God. To show them the fruits of the Spirit. To show them the goodness of God. The greatness of God. The glory of God. That they can make their home in the family of God." Well, where do you be at home? Jesus tells a story. Says, "Foolish man built his house on the sand. When this dark, evil age beat against that house, it washed away the sand and the house with it. But the wise man built his house in the age to come. The rock, Jesus Christ, who is God's glory, who is God's light, who is God's our salvation that he sent for us. The wise man built his house on the rock in the age to come for glory. What will you shine? What will you do to help people see they can be at home with? Lots of people walking in darkness. Lots of people walking in the fog, trying to figure out this light. Let's show them glory." Holy God, we thank you for speaking to us once more through your word. It's only by your power and by your grace that we hear from you. Words that encourage and build us up. Words that reveal to us pieces of who you are. God, we pray that we would turn to you, that we would seek after you, that we would find you more and more and more, that we would hear from you more and more. God, that we would make our lives at home with you, in your presence. We would make our home in your glory, in your peace. God, help us to put our life in your hands, the potter, the artist, the creator, the maker, the shaper, the former. We are the clay. Help us to be at home in glory. Help us then to shine your light, the light of Christ, in the world. God, we thank you that you have given us hope. We don't always see the specifics of it. We have hope, God. We have hope in your glory, your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.